is one of the great comebacks in Calgary Flames history.
Well, happy Friday and welcome back to the Firestarter Podcast. Ryan Dietrich coming at you from the Scotiabank Saddledome. The Flames coming off a big 5-2 win over the New Jersey Devils last night. And today we're sitting down with one of the newest members of the squad, Brandon Davidson. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Ryan. Appreciate you having me on.
Awesome. So, Brandon, yesterday you talked a little bit about the work you put in down in Stockton, which was excellent, 10 points in 10 games. But how gratifying is it for you to get the reward and get that call to come back up here?
Yeah, it means everything to me. I think going down there, it was the right move. I needed to kind of get in some in all types of situations and kind of refine my game again. And I was able to do that down there with the help of the coaching staff and most importantly, my teammates.
It was interesting talking with Bill Peters yesterday morning because he described what those conversations are like when, you know, the tough decisions have to be made around training camp time. And obviously, I'm assuming there's a lot of disappointment when you're told you're going down. But how important is it to keep that bigger picture in mind and understand that they do have a plan for you?
Yeah, for sure. I think coming into camp, you know, you have goals in mind. And, you know, mine was to make the team right out of camp. And it didn't go that way. But, so, you know, sometimes these things are blessings and kind of put a perspective on where I wanted to be and where what I had to do to kind of get there. And so going down to the minor leagues and you know, having that time down there really kind of honed my game, and I was able to kind of, you know, shake off the rust.
Obviously, when you signed that contract back in July, you're probably not going in blind. They, I assume, talked to you about what the plan's going to be when training camp rolls around. But what were, if you can share, what were those conversations like with management and coaching staff?
Yeah, to be brief about it, I think I had a good understanding that there was a possibility of me coming into camp and making this team and starting here. And unfortunately, that didn't go that way. But you know, sometimes these things kind of work their way out, and it seems like everything's kind of working its way out now. And you know, I was able to kind of get my feet underneath me and really just kind of find myself again down there.
You know, and Bill was talking about it throughout camp too. He's like, this guy just needs to play some games. I know it's been tough for you the last couple of years, but how good was it too to just come and get the preseason action and then, of course, to go down just to get your feet wet and play those big minutes again?
Yeah, it was huge. I mean, I hadn't played a whole lot of hockey in the last couple of years due to some injuries. And so Bill was on the same page as me, and you know, I needed to get my minutes up. I needed to kind of get in different types of situations and really just you know, work on my game and get it back to where it needs to be. And you know, Bill was great with me too the whole time. He understood where I needed to be, and the level of communication between us too was great. And so going down and spending that time in Stockton you know, a good thing for me, and obviously I think it's kind of showing now that it was.
I mean, the physical component is one thing. It's good to get up to game speed, but how important is it for you mentally too to have that trust in the coaching staff? You're first over the boards in those situations and be contributing at the key moments in the games.
Yeah, you know, you always want to be that guy, and I was able to be that guy in Stockton, and you know, I was given a lot of opportunity, and you know, I worked hard every day to keep those opportunities coming. And you know, I got rewarded and our team was rewarded. I played with a great group of guys down there, and everything seemed to kind of fit into place.
Let's take a trip down memory lane a little bit. You're a local boy of sorts growing up just a few hours away in Taber. What was it like growing up there, and how did the Flames factor into your childhood?
Yeah, I mean, Taber's a small town, about 7,000 people, more of a farm community, but awesome place to grow up. A lot of my core values were set on the farm between my family and that kind of lifestyle that we lived. And hockey was huge in Taber. Most kids play hockey in Taber, if not all of them. And growing up, having the Calgary Flames only a couple hours drive away, that was the team to watch for us. And, you know, even so, my dad took me to my first ever NHL game, and it was a Calgary Flames game, and it's where I kind of fell in love with the game.
And you obviously talking about it being a farming community, was your dad involved in that industry as well?
You know what, my family was, and my dad not so much.
Okay.
He was more on the oil rigs.
Okay.
So we kind of had a split between our family. Half of them were some farmers, and the other half were worked in the oil patch. My grandpa lived just down the road, and he had a farm. My auntie lived, you know, a couple kilometers away from us, and she had a farm. And so there was never any days inside. It was always it was always get outside and do something, and I wasn't allowed back in the house till supper time. So it was always busy. Yeah, no kidding. It was always busy, but it was always great. You know, it wasn't sitting in front of the TV all day or anything like that, playing video games. It was always get outside and find something to do. And if you didn't find something to do, my dad found me something to do. And most likely that would work.
I bet he did. I think everybody can relate to that. On the hockey side of things, I mean, the outsider's take is that you were kind of a late bloomer growing up, which isn't even that unusual for defensemen in general. But tell me, how did you make the sudden transition from midget to major junior with the Regina Pats?
Yeah, definitely a late bloomer for sure. I've kind of been, that's been hanged over me for a long time. And was just one of those kids that, you know, didn't come into his own till a little bit later. I was a little bit goofier and a little awkward. And when I was playing midget hockey and I was able to get an opportunity with Regina, I kind of realized that, I could maybe do this. And you know, it was all I wanted at the time, too. And so I kind of just ran with it and was given a great opportunity in Regina to play for the Pats. And played with a lot of good players there, Jordan Wheel, Jordan Everly, Colton Tuvert, a lot of guys that went on to have some good pro careers. And so I was put in the right situation and kind of just flourished with it.
You didn't play junior, right, before going to Regina? Was it kind of a walk-on situation
for
you?
Yeah, it was a walk-on situation where I was given a tryout and just kind of ran with it, I guess.
Nice.
That's the easiest way to put it.
Obviously, and finally getting the chance there, you wore the C too, which I know means a lot to a lot of young guys, but what did it mean to you specifically and how did it maybe shape you into the person you are today?
Yeah, I took a lot of pride in being the captain there in Regina, and it was the first time I'd ever been a captain of a hockey team. And so I put a lot of pressure on myself to kind of conduct myself in a way that I could lead others, and it was a real test for me at the time, and unbelievable experience kind of going through that and having other responsibilities than yourself was huge and really just rounded me out as a player and more so even as a person.
Celebrate the Flames 40th season with your friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group gathering, company event, or party with the Calgary Flames at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Group benefits include block seating, ticket savings, and designated coordinators to help you create the ultimate package. Unique group options include Sea of Red Reserved and Loft Experiences. For more info and to book a group event, visit calgaryflames.com/group. The Sea of Red lives here.
So, Brandon, switching gears a little bit, November is obviously Hockey Fights Cancer Month, and we know this is an especially important time of the year for you personally. How did your life change back in the fall of 2012?
Yeah, definitely a very important month for me and my family. Always happy when this month comes around, to be honest. It's a good time for me to kind of talk about my situation and what happened and bring the awareness and kind of contribute in any way a person can for men's health. And it's a good story because it's a success story and I feel like it's my responsibility to help others and raise that awareness and it's a good month for me and my family.
You know, one of the great things about this game is that no matter where you are, who you're with, it's like a family, right? So how supportive were the guys and in the locker room down in Oklahoma City? And maybe who were you leaning on the most? Because it was a fairly young team, but still a lot of guys that you grew up with, too.
Oh, yeah. No, the guys in Oklahoma City jumped right around me. They helped me through so much. And I had a roommate at the time named Taylor Fadoon. He's playing with Dallas right now. He brought the buzzer out and shaved his head as soon as I started losing my hair, and he was really there to help support me and just kind of bring light on the situation every day and really made it easy to kind of find a smile and to be happy. And so it was nice having him. I had a great group of guys down there that opened me with open arms and really just kind of helped me get through that.
Well, you called it a success story, and it is. And obviously being able to return to the ice, as quickly as you did, I can't imagine what your body had been through to get to that point, because it had only been a few months. But what did you go through, and what was it like when you were able to come back and play that first game again?
Yeah, after everything was said and done, after the surgery and the chemotherapy, I'd lost about 30 pounds. Wow. And so I was deteriorated. I didn't have much left. And once I was able to begin training, we kind of went at it every single day. It was just to make improvements, and we didn't know when there was going to be the end result, but we just kind of pushed every day, and 3 months later we were able to kind of get to a place where I was healthy and strong and feeling like I could play, you know, in a professional hockey league.
And what a time to come back too, right? You guys had a great season and then a really deep playoff run. Now, was that must have been one of your deeper runs too,
yeah,
as a hockey player, right?
Conference final, I believe, that
yeah,
year.
Yeah.
And yeah, conference final. We had an awesome team that year, and I actually, when I came back from all my treatments and everything, I spent a little time in the East Coast Hockey League in Stockton, and when I was called back up, the team was already rolling into the playoffs, like first place, and so I jumped on a really good team, and I was able to kind of contribute in a good way, and I played a lot of minutes and a lot of hockey, and you know, without having those guys and that experience, I don't know where that would have left me. But you know, really just kind of came into my own there, and were able to make some jumps in my career.
You mentioned Fadun, who's now with the Dallas Stars, Colton Tubert, who you were teammates with in Regina, and this is probably stretching your memory a little bit going back 6 years, but I remember you being paired with Garrett Stafford at a point too, a guy who's played so many games at the pro level, and I don't know what you can tell us about him, because from what my dealings with him, just a great guy and a super leader.
Yeah, he was a great guy and an awesome leader. Really just helped me. He was an older guy, and being younger, you know, sometimes the nerves kind of take a hold of you, and he was the one that always was able to kind of settle me down, and you know, I learned a lot from him, just watching him and the way he kind of conducted himself on the ice and more so off the ice, really helped me kind of get a good understanding of where I needed to be.
I think it's pretty clear that over the course of your career, and including the cancer diagnosis many years ago, you've been through a lot, you've faced a ton of adversity, but you've always, the theme of it, right, is that you come through on the other side, and here you are now, you've even battled a couple injuries the last couple of years, you've made a few stops. Does it kind of feel like hopefully now things are settling down a little bit and you're back to where you want to be? You're playing the game you love too, which I'm sure helps a great deal.
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm where I should be right now. I'm definitely, over the last couple of years, have been tougher battling the injuries and going through the psychological battle through all that as well. It was tough, but you know, I just feel good. My physically, my strength is good. My body seems to be back to where it wants to be. My head's in it, and you know, I'm excited and just to be here, but also excited to kind of start my professional hockey career again. Spent a lot of time off the ice, and I got a lot of things that I want to do, and I need to get it started here in Calgary.
Does David Rittich know that two of your 9 career goals are against him? 2 in one game, even.
No, I didn't know. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too funny. I'll have to let him know that.
Yeah. I think you were, well, you might, this is going back, this is January 2018. I'm pretty sure you were like first star of the game that night too. So maybe a little bit of ammunition for the locker room. That's what we do here. We try to give you guys some fuel here on the podcast.
That is great ammunition, because Ritter's been, me and Ritter are good friends, and so he's one of those guys, as soon as I got here, big smile on his face, so he'll love this. This is good.
Well, he always has way too much himself, and he's giving it to the other guys, so you have to be able to give it back
exactly.
Brandon, thank you so much for your time, really appreciate it. You got a great story to tell, and we can't wait to see you on the ice wearing that Flames jersey here soon.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
All right, and everybody, thank you so much for listening to the Firestarter podcast. We'll catch you next week.